Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Me and I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through me, that you'll help me, that it'll not be about me, but I'll point people to you, Jesus, and you'll get all the glory. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So we're currently in a series here in church called What Can the Bible Do For You? And we're really exploring the Bible with fresh eyes, we're engaging with the timeless truths that we find here, and really importantly, we're applying its wisdom to our daily lives. And whether you're new to the Bible or you've studied the Bible scripture passages for years, I believe this series will really help to equip you, not only to comprehend what it's saying there, but also to live out the powerful messages that God has woven in to every single page of scripture. And as we do so, I believe we'll discover the depth and the relevance of the Bible in our lives today. We'll learn how to read it, how to engage with it, and we'll learn, really importantly, how to apply it to our lives today. So we really want to encourage you to be reading the Bible, to be engaging with the Bible, to be trusting the Bible and applying it to your life. And today I want to explore the theme of what can the Bible do for you? It can guide you. And it was really interesting that for what Michelle shared in communion, and I promise Michelle and I did not speak beforehand. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read through verses 5 through to 6. So just two verses that we want to look at today. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through to 6. Michelle's already quoted that, but let's read it again. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." See, I think these two verses are some of the most loved Bible verses in all of Scripture. And many of us would have memorized these verses at Sunday school years and years ago. And if you produced a list of people's top favourite Bible passages, I really believe that Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 would be up there near the top. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you guys in this room watching it online had these verses on display somewhere in your house to remind you of their great truth. And I'll tell you, a few people after the first service said to me, "We have those verses on display in our house." See, I think this text, these verses, are so striking in their simplicity. There's nothing difficult about it. It's so simple that it can be understood by a child, and yet it's a real comfort to the most mature of us, and it's good for all Christians, in between the youngest to the oldest. It has been the hope and encouragement of countless multitudes of God's people right across the centuries. Why? Because it's utterly simple, and we can prove that it's true anytime we like. These words cling to the soul because they speak to a great need that all of us feel, and that is a need for guidance. After all, there's no question greater than this, and this is the number one question that as a pastor we get asked. What is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? And I don't know a Christian who does not wrestle with God's will for their life sooner or later. Things like, should I get married? Who should I marry? I've been offered a job. Should I take that job or should I wait for the next one? I've been offered a place at two different universities. Which one should I attend? What course should I do when I get there? Should I try out for that sports team? What subjects should I take next year at high school? God, what do you want me to do? And Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 suggests the basis on which guidance will come. And I really believe that these two verses is a short course in knowing God's will for your life. And if you will learn what this passage is really teaching and begin to apply it in your daily life, let me tell you, I believe it will make a profound difference when you come to make those really tough decisions that you have to make throughout your life. See, sometimes the problem is, though, we know a passage so well that we almost know it too well. We know it so much that we never really take time to stop and think about what the words in that passage are really saying to us. And I believe there's five key words in those two verses, in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, that really unlock the whole meaning of these two verses. I want to explore each of those five words. And the first word I want to look at is that word, trust. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that is a word in the original Hebrew that means to lean with the full body, to lay upon, to rest the full weight upon. See, in our thinking, the word trust just simply means to rely upon or have confidence in something or someone. That is what we understand by the word trust. But in the Hebrew, that word is much, much stronger. And it's the idea of stretching yourself out in a bed or laying on a hard surface and knowing that you're safe, that you can be lying there, no problem at all. That word, the word trust here, means to put your full weight on something. To trust in the Lord is to lay your whole weight upon Him and Him alone. And then the second word that I think is really key in these two verses is that word lean. Lean not to your own understanding. See, lean means to rest upon for partial support. Lean is what you do when you walk with a stick because you're a little bit unsteady on your feet, or I'm leaning on this lectern, putting my weight on the lectern. And it's used in the Old Testament for leaning against a tree or a stone cliff. You lean on something when you're not strong enough to stand alone. And then thirdly, understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. And this word understanding, it refers to the mental process by which you and I analyse a problem, break it down into smaller parts, and then we make a decision about what we're going to do based on that problem. It's what you use when you make up your to-do list. Of all the things that you have to do that day, you use your understanding to chart out your priorities for each day. It's what you use on a Sunday night when you map out the oncoming week, and maybe you're thinking, oh man, I can't believe it's Monday again tomorrow. Hope you're not like that, but some of us are. That's understanding. You use that at any time to plan your life or to solve a problem. So the word understanding refers to those mental processes by which you look at a problem, you analyse it, and you decide how you're going to solve that problem. It's also how you set up the order of your life. Let me tell you that word understanding is not a bad word. Understanding is simply the decision-making ability that God has given you and me as individuals. But when you take the word lean and put it with the word understanding, then add that negative in there, you get an idea like this. Use all your mental powers, but do not lean on them for total support. Do not trust in your own ability to figure out your life. Lean instead on God. Put all your weight on Him. And then fourthly, that word acknowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And I just want to spend a little bit longer on this word here. I want to say a little bit more about this word, because I think that word acknowledge doesn't do full justice to the original text. See, in the Hebrew, this word is an imperative. It's a command. It's the imperative form of the verb to know. And you could translate this by saying, in all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, know Him. And the underlying Hebrew word here means to know deeply. It means to know intimately. It's a kind of knowing that only comes with personal experience. It means to know something through and through. For instance, someone might say to me, Stephen, do you know the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom? And I could say, quite truthfully, sure, I know the Prime Minister. What I mean is, if a Prime Minister walked in, I would know who he is. If I were in a room and I heard his voice coming over the TV, I would recognise that distinctive voice of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Or if I picked up a newspaper, I looked at a news story online and seen his picture there, I would say, I know who that is. I know that man. That is the Prime Minister. Well, it doesn't mean, though, that I really know him. Now, I don't really know him in the slightest. I can't pick up the phone and call Downing Street and say, hey, Keir, how's it going, big man? It's Stephen from Found Church here. How'd you fancy grabbing a coffee this week? I've got two freebies on my Costa app. Like, I can't phone him and say that, because I know who he is, but I don't really know him. Like, I don't know him personally. He won't take my call. I just know him at the level of head knowledge. I don't know him intimately or on a friendship level. But let me tell you, there's another way of knowing. I know Elizabeth, and she knows me completely in a different way than anybody else in this room or anybody watching online knows. We've known each other intimately for over 20 years. And after being together for so long, let me tell you, strange things happen. Do you know, I could be thinking about a question, not even say the question, but then Elizabeth will just blurt out the answer. And I'm thinking, how does she do that? I'm thinking, I have no idea. Or the thing that gets me the most, my biggest irritation in life, and I'm going to come over this side to say this one. It's like, men, you might understand this. Like, I could start saying a sentence and telling a story, and before I even finish, Elizabeth finishes the sentence and tells the rest of the story. Has that ever happened to you? Just me. Elizabeth, it's just you. Does that? Everybody's lying, telling lies. They're just scared because their wife was sitting next to them. And I say, how can you do that? She just says to me with a smile, I know what you're thinking before you even say it. I tell you, things like that happen to all married couples eventually. When you live together that long, you get to know each other at such a deep level, a level that you just don't know each other on the outside, but you actually begin to know what the other person is thinking as they are thinking. You know what they're going to say before they say it. You know what they are going to do before they do it. Why? Because you have that deep, personal, intimate knowledge of each other. I've been in, it's just never happened to you. I've been in meetings, especially church meetings, and then suddenly Elizabeth will kick me under the table. And I'm thinking, well, I've not even said anything, I've not even done anything yet. And Elizabeth will just look at me and say, but I know what you were thinking. And I know what you were going to say, and I'm just kicking you before you say it. Has that ever happened to you? Some people have been honest and nodding. Like, because we have that intimate relationship with each other. So if, when you look at this verse 5, in that light, we might translate verse 5 in this way. In all your ways, know God intimately. In all your ways, know God deeply. In all your ways, know God personally. In every area of your life, know God intimately, deeply, and personally, because when you know God in that way, every single area, in every area of your life, then He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths, and that brings us on to that fifth word. He will make your paths straight. Direct. See, the King James version of this verse has it says, He will direct your paths. And I think that is pretty good, but I think the NIV translates that a little better when it says, He will make your paths straight. See, this has this idea of a road which appears impassable. The road winds through the mountains and it goes down in the valley, and it seems to have 1,000 different paths that you could take. And as you study it, you discover portions of the road that are washed out, others are filled with potholes, and still others have huge big boulders in the way. In some places, the road apparently becomes a dead end. Let me tell you, that is a metaphor for the road of your life. That is the road that some of us are travelling right now. And as you look at it, it appears to be covered with boulders and rocks. It appears to be filled with potholes. It appears to be a road to nowhere. That's the way sometimes that life is. And some of you, if we're being honest, have come through a week that's filled with boulders. You've spent your whole week trying to drive around the boulders. And as far as you can see in the future, the road is filled with nothing but potholes and nothing but sewage in the bottom of those potholes. So you've come out of a tough week and you're not even looking to the week ahead because the road seems like it's filled with obstacles and it's filled with potholes. And if that's you and you find yourself in that situation, well, here's God's message to you from Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. If you will know God in every single area of your life, He Himself will take personal responsibility to make your way smooth and straight. That is His promise to you today. If you will know God in every single area of your life, He will take the personal responsibility to make your way smooth and straight. He will remove the obstacles if they need to be removed. He will fill in the potholes if they need to be filled. He will redirect the detours to what seemed like a dead end and it turns out to be the shortest way to reach your destination. That is the God we serve. But all you have to do is trust God. Trust God. Lay yourself completely on Him for full support. Don't lean for support on your own human understanding. In all your ways, know God intimately. He will take the path of your life, which quite often, if we're honest, seems to go up and down and roundabout, and sometimes it even seems to go backwards, but what will He do? He will make your way straight. That's the promise of Almighty God to you today. See, you're trusting and you're waiting on God to show you the next step that you should take. But let's be honest, so many of us don't do that. The Bible says, in all your ways, know him intimately, know him deeply, know him personally. As a man knows a woman, know God in that kind of way, know him to that depth, know him to that kind of fellowship and that kind of intimacy. So often though, we skip this. We do things like this. We get up in the morning and we say, God, help us. God, help me. I'm so busy today. I've got loads of stuff to do. Lord, I don't even have time to pray, but here's my list. Here's my list. You know my list anyway. I don't have to tell you because you know it anyway. Lord, just bless my list. Just bless it all. Sorry, I've got to go, Lord. See you later. Like, let's be honest. Every one of us has done that. We throw a list up towards heaven and then we run out the door. We'll not talk about getting up early. Some people get annoyed with me when I tell them to get up earlier. But what we're saying though is, God, here's my schedule. Just rubber stamp it with your blessing. That's what I want you to do for me, God. Then we wonder why our days are filled with frustration. See, many of us want to go through life leaning almost completely upon our own understanding. See, a lot of us are basically control freaks, and I would count myself in that group. I like to know what's going on. I like to be in charge of my own destiny. And this passage here, these verses, is a warning to all of us control freaks who lay out life the way that we want it and then say, here, God, you stamp it with your blessing because I'm going to go out and do it all for you. But God just says back simply, hey, I don't work that way. You know me first. Sorry, not me. You know him first. You know God first. Put him first in everything, including all your plans and all your thinking and all your scheming. God is saying, put me first, and I will make your way straight. But here's our problem. We want a formula for life, but God wants a relationship. We want a formula, and God wants a relationship. Do you want to know the secret of knowing the will of God for your life? Here it is. In everything you do, know God. But we all want a formula. Stephen, I don't like that. Just give me a formula. Give me three steps. Give me three simple steps that I can follow. But Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 tells us that the secret is a relationship with God. But we want a formula. That's what we want. So I need to be really careful. I'm just going to put a prerequisite in here. I got myself in big trouble in the first service. So just pray for me for this afternoon that my wife is kind and gracious and exercises lots of grace. But just imagine, or let's talk about Stephen all these years ago, who had just been dating Elizabeth for 9 months or so. So that'd be around about 25 years ago. No, we've been married for 22 years. We've been married for 23 years come October. Doesn't matter. Oh, sorry, I was age 22. I was age 22 then. So, I need to be careful because I got in big trouble earlier. So just imagine dating for 9 months. And we have a date on a Friday night. And I go and pick up Elizabeth and she would ask me that logical question. She'd be like, Stephen, where are we going tonight? Simple question. But I imagine if I answered back saying, I don't know. I want to take you someplace you like. I wish you would give me a three-step formula so I could know where you really want to go on a Friday night. How would Elizabeth feel in that moment? How would you feel in that moment? Would you be angry? Would you be upset? Would you be frustrated? If you think, like, we've been dating for 9 months and you don't know what I like and you don't know what we should be doing, where have you been all this time? And let me tell you, we'll have been married 23 years next month, and I still do the same thing. Elizabeth still says, Stephen, where have you been? How do you not know? How do you not know? Like, it's just what happens. Why? Because we want to reduce our relationship with God down to a formula. We want a formula. We want three simple steps. Give me three steps so that I know what to do. But God simply says to us, I'm not giving you three steps. He says, know me, spend time with me, put me first in every single area of your life, because when you do, I will take care of all of those details. And I think that's a revolutionary way of looking at life. Why? Because we get so hung up on the decisions of life. Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I live in Falkirk? Should I live in Glasgow? Maybe Edinburgh? Maybe somewhere else? Should I get married? Should I take that job or should I not? But here's the teaching, I believe, of this passage in one simple sentence. That God is less concerned with what you do than what kind of person you are. He's much less concerned about what you do and more concerned about the kind of person that you are. He's much less concerned with what you do. Much less concerned. He's much more interested in who you are. The question is not where you're going to go. The question is, what kind of person are you going to be wherever you go? The question is not who should I marry, but the kind of person I'm going to be when I am married. That is the question. I believe that we are wasting so much energy and so much time on the wrong questions. While you're wrestling with questions of relocation, God wants to know, are you going to be my man or my woman when you move to that place? Regardless if it's Glasgow, Edinburgh, or you stay in Falkirk, are you going to be my man or my woman? See, if you decide to put God first in everything, it doesn't matter whether you do that in Glasgow, Edinburgh, or Falkirk. And if you're not going to put God first in everything, again, it does not really matter if you're going to do that in Glasgow, Edinburgh, or stay in Falkirk. It does not matter. We focus all our energy on the wrong decisions. We focus all our energy on decisions, but God says, know me and I will take care of the details. But our problem is we want specific direction. God says, in all your ways, know me, and everything else will fall into place. I remember being challenged a few years back with someone who was speaking, and I heard someone say that most of our decisions won't really matter in 1,000 years. And when I thought about that, it kind of blew my mind at first. And I was thinking, what a liberating way to look at life. So the next time you face a tough decision, ask yourself, will it really matter in 1,000 years? Let me tell you, 99% of the stuff that you were worried about this week won't even matter in 3 weeks from now, much less in 1,000 years from now. What will matter 1,000 times, 1,000 years from now, is that you have decided in all your ways to know God and to put him first in everything. That is what really matters. See, all these trivial, piddly details that just soak up so much of our energy will in that day be seen for what they really are. Trivial, piddly little details. And in light of this text, in light of Proverbs 3, 5-6, what is the will of God for your life? It's simple. To know God in everything, to see him present everywhere and in everything. Here in the sanctuary, here in church, there in the workplace. Here when we sing, there when we work. Here when we worship, there when we study. Here when we pray, there when we play. Here when we clap, there when we date. Here when we listen, there when we speak. Doesn't matter where you are. God is saying, I want you to know me just as much out there as you do in here. I want you to know me on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday just as much as you want to know me on a Sunday. Like, it's not a turn up to church, tick the box, I'm done for the week. It's not that kind of relationship that he's looking for. See, it's crucial. When you decide to know God in every single area of your life, he takes charge of all of the details. So the most important thing is not just the decisions that you are facing right now. The most important thing is your relationship with God. The closer you get to God, the easier it will be for God to guide you in the way that he wants you to go. Knowing God means using all your energies for him. And you could pray, start of the week, Lord, here are my hands. Use them to do your will this week. Lord, here are my lips, speak through them this week. Lord, here are my eyes, I'm going to be watching for you where you're working this week. Lord, here are my ears, I'm going to be listening for you this week. Lord, here are my feet, I'm going to be going for you this week. See, knowing God means taking all that you've placed, all that you have, and placing it at the disposal of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the text ends with a promise. It says, he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. I don't know about you, but I think that's an amazing promise. He will make your paths straight. God is able to remove the obstacles that you find in front of you. He is able to fill in the potholes and turn a dead end into a shortcut. God rewards those who show regard to him by leading them straight to the right end and removing all of the obstacles along the way. We rarely see this in advance, though. When we look to the future, we just see potholes, and we see boulders that block a view. And many times it looks like there is absolutely no path at all. But let me tell you, He will make a way. He will make a way. And no one can say how. No one can say how He will do it. But there are thousands and thousands of ways in which God leads us as His children. Just some of them, He leads us through delays. When we experience a delay, God is still leading us. When we have a detour, He is still leading us. When we see miracles happening, God is leading us. When we see and hear the advice of friends speaking into our life, God is directing us. When unexpected opportunities come our way, God is directing us. When suddenly the door closes and we're disappointed, God is still directing us. Maybe He shut the door. When we receive answered prayer, God is directing us. When we receive unanswered prayer, God is still directing us. When we have those inner impressions, when we feel the Holy Spirit speaking to us personally, God is still directing us. When we have that, hear that still small voice in the middle of the night, God is still directing us through that still small voice. When we open up and read His word, God is directing us. That's the whole point of this series, that God will guide you when you get engaged with His word. He will guide you, He will speak to you through it. But we never ever see it on this side. Also sees the obstacles and the dead ends and the potholes. On this side, all we see is the problems. But when you know God, for you know Him intimately, He leads you step by step. And the band can come. And when the journey's done, when you manage to get past these obstacles and you see that you actually had a way right through, you look back and you say, I don't know how I got to here from over there, but I do know this though. Jesus led me every single step of the way. Every single step of the way. He will lead the way. He will remove the obstacles. You will have a straight path for your journey. And let me just leave you today with this thought. What is the secret of this text? What is the secret of these two verses? He will make your path straight. The secret, that one word, He. He. He will make your path straight. Who is the He of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6? The He is the God of the Bible. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The God of Moses, the God of Israel. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who spoke and 1,000,000,000 galaxies sprang into being. The God who has numbered the grains of sand. The God who knows the very number of hairs on your head. The God who sees the sparrow when it falls. The God who holds the whole universe in His hand. That is the He that will make your paths straight. That God, the almighty, transcendent God of the universe, He will direct your path. That's the God who says, if you will but know me, then I will take care of all of the details. Trust me, rest your full weight upon me. Know me in every single area. And I, the God of the universe, will direct your paths. And if God has promised and told us that He will lead us, why do we get so fearful? If God has said He will take up your cause, then why are you worried about tomorrow? Let me remind you that no evil can battle if He leads the way. No enemy can stop you if He is leading the way. That no opposition can derail you if He is leading the way. That no obstacle can stand forever in your way if He is leading the way through it. In all your ways, know Him, and He shall direct your paths. He has promised, and it's so. It may not be easy. It may not be exactly the way that you think you should go. It may not be what seems to be the shortest way to you, but He will direct your paths. All He says is, know me. Know me deeply, know me intimately in every single area of your life, and I will take care of the rest. And come back to that question that so many people ask me, Stephen, what is the will of God for my life? And my answer is always the same. The will of God for your life is that you, in all your ways, should know Him. Because when you know Him in every single area, He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. Let me tell you, when we get the Word of God in our hands, when we get the Bible in our hands, and we don't just put it on the bookcase and pull it out every so often, but when we get engaged in that word, when we read that word every day, when we apply it, when we meditate on it, and we really, really start to take what it says seriously and apply it to our lives, He will make your path straight. When you start putting Him first in every area of your life, He will make your paths straight. I could prove it over and over and over again in my life. Has it been hard? Yes. But it's been much easier as He's been the leading and directing and guiding than it would be to try and do it on my own. I find it astonishing when I meet people and I hear their story and I think, how on earth did you manage to go through all of that in your life without having Jesus? I just don't know how people do it. I just don't know how people do it. And don't come and say to me, but Stephen, God's never told me. God's not speaking to me. Because my follow-up question would be, when was the last time you read your Bible? Like, and if you tell me it's been a while, then where's your answer? Like, God speaks every single day through His Word. Every single day. If you want to hear God speaking to you, get your Bibles open. Start reading it. Start applying it. Start meditating on it. Engage with it and watch as He directs your path. Every single time, He will direct your path. I think the Bible is more relevant today than when it was written. It definitely is. It's more relevant for us today than it's ever been. Let me just remind you, He promised and He will not fail. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. What a promise. What a promise from God today. Let me tell you, it all starts so.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.